Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Woo-hoo. This is a full panel tonight in a bracket rundown show. I'm your host up here.
27, 26, 25.
All right, somebody throw the puppet off the show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We've got up here on the top row, we've got Joby Fortson and David Griggs, John Titel in the center square, Matt Sikowski and John Slika to his sides. Down in the bottom row there, Rocco Miller, bracketeer.org. We are going to be doing our bracket rundown today. We're going to build a seed list. I guess we should start with some definitions. Stalika, let me ask you, what's a seed list?
A seed list is essentially a grouping of all 68 teams that will eventually make the field. So this will be S-curve order as far as who's going to be seeded number one, seeded number two, and all the way down.
Right, and what we're going to be doing is putting that together. The way the format's going to work is I'm going to call on a different member of our panel here as each to give us four teams. We're going to have a little debate about it, and if I can be convinced by the rest of the panel to make a change, I will make that change, and if not, we will leave those four teams and move on to the next line. We've got a lot to get to, though, so I guess what we'll do is start by pulling up the actual form that we're going to be using tonight.
And we're not trying to guess the committee. These are our picks, what we think it should be based on what's happened now. Although, pretty much, there isn't a whole lot to go after now. So, I don't know. We're getting to the point to where it is going to be kind of the end of the season.
We're still on replay. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. We're still on
Okay. Well, that was from last night's Under the Radar show here.
But we're still on. Yeah, we got
it. There we go. The refs are done looking at Handy Henderhan, and we're moving on to our seed list. There it is. What we're going to do is fill in the top 12 seed lines through the debate. We'll fill in the 13 through 16 real quickly at the end of the show. If you want to watch more about Handy Henderhan's replay and those other bottom teams, you can go back to last night's Under the Radar podcast. A couple of terms that we're going to use here is the term protected seed. That means the top four seed lines, and the term first ballot team, which means the top eight seed lines. And a couple of quick other definitions up here. We see some of the metrics that we're going to be filling in here. They include the NCAA's net rating, KenPom rating, strength of schedule, and Joby, your JNG rating. A quick definition of the JNG for those that are new.
Yeah, it's becoming extremely relevant right now because things have come to the fore. What the JNG tries to do is it takes – the reason why the NG stands for nitty gritty, it draws data that the committee uses on the actual nitty gritty sheets and tries to compile it and put together a ranking that tries to mirror a seed list. You know, the order matters on this, and it's been successful to date, particularly in relation to seeding. Last year, after the revisions, et cetera, with the net versus the RPI, we'll see how it goes. But the revision side got down to four within a seed after the regression analysis. The original before regression was only eight off more than a seed.
Nice. All right, so let's go ahead and get right into this here. And Rocco down
– Syracuse and Arizona State screwing up the actual picks.
Rocco, you're down there at the bottom, but we're going to start from the bottom up. So why don't I start with you tonight? Why don't you tell us right now who are the four number one seeds in the – if the tournament was selected today, February 28th, 10 o'clock p.m.?
Thank you for starting with the little guys here on the bottom. We appreciate that. So I'm going to go with Virginia as the top overall seed. I think they assume that position after another Duke loss. And I actually would put Gonzaga just slightly above that Duke team I just mentioned, but both on the one line. So Virginia, Gonzaga, Duke, and then the fourth spot is remaining with Kentucky for me. So we'll start with those four.
Oh, wow.
David, you sound like you have a comment. So,
I agree with the four, but I think that when you look at Duke and you look at the whole season and not just what happened earlier in the week, Duke has played four games against the teams on that line, won three of them and won two of them away from home. That is astonishingly good. And the games that they have lost, they've not been at full strength. Duke's profile is stupid. It's so good.
Well, Tytel, you are an expert also at guessing the selection committee, and you look at this idea here of this Duke team. How much do you just kind of almost half partially ignore the Syracuse or the Virginia Tech losses because they had injuries in those games? Or do you knock them down to number three or number four overall because of that?
I don't think ignore is the right word. You have to give them due deference. And I think that if you can make an excuse, which you can, because they were not playing at full strength in those losses, then you have to take that into account. My confusion, what on earth are these italics and these lines I see on your little thing here?
Oh, thank you. Why don't we do go and divide that? Thank you. What we're seeing here is team sheets, or a version of what the NCAA Selection Committee team sheet looks at. This is kind of our own version of it. But it's you see there the four quadrants. The blue, for example, on Duke here are the wins. The red column is their losses. The green is the remaining schedule. You see the four quadrants, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And within the top two quadrants, the NCAA this year has kind of differentiating out the top half of the top quadrant and the bottom half, and same thing with the second quadrant there. So everything above the line is considered a tier 1A or a quadrant 1A win. Below the line, which is just the Syracuse on the Duke side, is a 1B. And same thing with 1, 2A and 2B. And you see the same differentiation here on Virginia on the right, David.
Yeah. Right. Well, this is just kind of where I am with Duke. And if you're just counting up the scorecard, yeah, quad one looks pretty even. But what isn't even is it is not unusual in a given year to see one seeds that don't have any wins against one seeds. Duke has three. I don't ever recall a team having that many. And I'm ever. I mean, that is like UConn women level winning. When you look at how they always want to play highly ranked teams and showcase games, and they typically win them.
Well, Matt, let me bring you in here on this. I think that it's going to be fairly consensus that Virginia is probably number one overall right now. But what about this Gonzaga Duke, who's the number two, number three overall team out there? Gonzaga did beat Duke, but what David just said, Duke beat three of the other teams on this line.
Yeah, I like Duke's overall profile better, and I think I know they head to head, but I think when healthy, Duke is the better team. I would have Duke ahead of them.
Stalika, how about you? Do you agree with that?
Honestly, I think the way the S-curve is set up, it really doesn't make much of a difference because we are talking about number two and number three overall, and Gonzaga is pretty much set in the West anyway. Duke True, right. would be set in the Southeast, just the way the way the things are set up, but I would still have Duke over Gonzaga.
Right. And Joby, let me ask you another question. His fourth team was Kentucky. Do you agree with that Kentucky is on the one?
I do. It's not a slam dunk, but I think Kentucky's there. Kentucky beat one of the other one of the other competitors for it that they did. They have their warts, you know, the Alabama loss. But I think Kentucky, the way they're playing right now. Yeah, we could talk about the LSU game all we want, you know, but I think Kentucky is the best team out of a very strong SEC right now.
I'll tell you what, I think we're going to stick with the slide. I'm going to make that one slight change, Rocco. Sorry, I'm going to bump Duke over Gonzaga. I know Gonzaga won the head-to-head, but three wins over the other two teams on this line is pretty damn impressive, whatever way you look at it. Matt, why don't I go to you here? Why don't you throw us some two seeds?
All right, so I would have North Carolina as my top two seed. I'd have Tennessee, then Michigan State, then Michigan.
Michigan State and then Michigan. All right. I can't type things in here, apparently. But while I'm trying to get these typed in, Tytel, what are your thoughts on those four teams as the two seeds right now?
I like all of them a lot. Okay. I think that the order is still up in the air because when the Spartans go into Ann Arbor and win, that really, I think, is a feather in their cap, especially. We talked about two teams get penalized for losing when hurt. How about a team winning when hurt? I still can't believe they did it, but they did. They deserve a lot of credit for it. When you look at that resume, like, you're beating Purdue and Maryland and road wins at Wisconsin and at Michigan. That's like a two-seed resume for the Spartans.
Not just winning when you're hurt, but at the same time, Michigan is fully healthy as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. And Joby, how about that? I mean, should Michigan
State
be higher, maybe even higher?
I think Michigan State, now that they've taken over a slice of first place in the Big Ten, I like Michigan. And Tytel, his reasoning is spot on. I'd actually have him as the top two.
Yeah.
Even as an ACC guy who likes this Carolina team, and this Carolina team has maybe the best win out there with the win at Duke. I don't care if Zion gets hurt early, that they went in, and I think if Zion's healthy, they might still win that game because of the way they played. Well, but Michigan State with two, not one, but two guys, you know, on their rotation now, man, you got to tip a hat and – give them the advantage for now. Lucky for us, Duke and Carolina play again, and Michigan State play again, and that will tell us a lot more.
Rocco, let me bring you on this question here. Michigan State, I kind of like the argument that they maybe should be over Tennessee, but over a North Carolina team that has two wins against one seeds, like we were just discussing.
I agree, but I actually do still have Michigan State above. I just think, to Tytel's point, it's just a tiny bit more impressive. They've got the 10 quadrant one wins, 14 in the top two groups, which is a couple more than Carolina has. They've got the signature win now, and they did it with an injured, a banged-up team and still won. Carolina beat Gonzaga on their own court, and they beat Duke after Zion went down. I'm sure that could be argued it changed their confidence level and the way they played. So – I just think by the closest of margins, I would go with Michigan State over Carolina.
But don't you have to penalize them for the Illinois and the Indiana losses?
That's the one thing. North Carolina has avoided losses to anybody, not even in the top half. Well, Texas.
True.
But other than Texas, everybody else is probably going to land in the top half of the bracket. You can't really say that about Michigan State.
Exactly. And I think that's why it's even a debate. If Michigan State didn't have those losses, I don't think it would be much of a debate.
Yeah. If Michigan State didn't have those losses, they'd be a one seed.
Matt, right. This was your line. Did you want to respond to that also and argue that why Michigan State belongs below Carolina?
Yeah, I can hear the argument above Tennessee. Tennessee is sort of a tough one to grade right now. But, Carolina is the why. I like Carolina's profile better. I think the teams as they're constituted, I think Carolina's a little better. I like the absolute top of what Carolina's done a little bit more than the absolute top of what Michigan State's done.
And if you compare the top five wins, 1, 3, 11, 19, and 25 are all better than 9, 12, 16, 30, and 33. Yeah. I mean, the top – you across the board there, it may be the same number of 1A wins, but each one of those 1A wins is better than Michigan State's. Right.
But, I mean, that could be argued too, because if you look at the actual teams, Michigan's a 2-seed, Purdue's a 3-seed, and Wofford's an 8-seed. So, I mean
– well, we don't know Purdue's a 3-seed. We haven't
put them in yet. That's true. Okay, let's
– they might be on the 9-line. You just never know. Right.
That's true.
So Gonzaga and Duke are 1 seeds. Michigan is a 2, and Purdue's not in the field yet, right?
Yeah.
Good point. You got me.
So should we go to the next line to discuss the Boilermakers?
Yeah, let's go to the next line so we can work on this. This is exactly how the committee does it, if you're watching, by the way. It takes them about an hour, and then they're done.
No, David, why don't you explain how the committee really does it? Because this is not how they do it.
No, not at all, really. We essentially took some of the things the committee did and came up with a process that is absolutely nothing like what the committee does.
Right.
But we evaluate the teams the same way. We just don't procedurally select and seed them. First, they select them. There's an initial vote.
It's a lot of blind ballot.
It's a lot of blind voting. I don't know how you detail the description you want, but there's 10 members. They each vote for up to 36 teams. It doesn't have to be 36. It could be 35, 33, 22, 7.
Right.
I mean, if they're only voting for 7, there's a problem, but up to 36. Any team that gets 8 votes out of the 10 is in the field, and generally they like to get – so that's what they do the first night. They generally like to get to 36 by early the second day. Every time one of those 36 teams wins a conference tournament, they add another team, and then once they kind of get their field, they begin seeding it. That's a voting process where they – where they're basically ranking groups of 8, 1 through 8 in the top 4 of the lines. And
that's how they do it.
If we were to mimic that procedure, we'd be here for about 3 days.
We could probably spend an hour detailing the exact procedure alone. So
right,
we're not going to do that. Tytel, let me bring you in here. Why don't you come in and give us the 3-line? How about that?
That would be fantastic. So
I think we David's need talking.
To get some one-loss teams on this line. So give me a little Houston Cougars.
Nice.
We need to get some Big Ten. I think we're going to have plenty of Big Ten teams coming up, but I think that when you beat Maryland and Wisconsin and Michigan State and the rest of the Big Ten, we can get Purdue up here.
Yes.
I think that we need to get LSU up here.
Yes.
Some recent struggles. When you beat Kentucky and Tennessee, who are already on here, those are huge feathers in your cap. And then for the fourth one, I know they're coming off a loss. And I know that I don't like pissing off some of our great panelists. So just for my good friend, let's get Marquette up here.
Well, Matt, you're our Marquette guy. You want to respond to this line here, which has your Marquette team in along with Houston, Purdue, and LSU?
That's the one I had it slightly different order, but I think Houston's a solid 9. And after that, I think there's one team we haven't mentioned yet that's struggling in this consideration that's pretty close, 10 to 13.
What team?
That would be Texas Tech.
Texas Tech. Okay. Well, Stalika, what are your thoughts? Marquette versus Texas Tech, especially? I mean, you look at Marquette, their 21 net is the worst net that we've considered yet by about several lines here.
I think my thought is Tytel should stop looking at my screen because that was the exact order I had the three seeds as far as
cheating.
LSU and Marquette. I think Texas Tech, I mean, they certainly showed they can – beat a team like Kansas rather convincingly, but they were also struggling a bit to put a team like Oklahoma State away at home. They don't have anything that's terribly bad on there, but they don't have as many of the quad one wins as Marquette would have either.
Well, Rocco, are these the teams? Is there somebody else maybe besides Texas Tech we should be considering on this line?
Yeah, I agree with the teams here. I have a slightly different order, but I really don't have a strong reason to back it up. I think after Houston, the three teams, you know, I've kind of got them ordered from Marquette down to LSU down to Purdue, but I have to take a closer look at that. So I'm pretty good with this order.
Yeah, Chad, if you were to pull up Houston's profile, and the reason I want to look at it is because. Along with Texas Tech, but particularly Houston, it is lacking the volume of like quality wins that most protected seeds typically have. Now, I definitely think they belong up here. The committee certainly liked them earlier, two or three weeks ago when they did their initial selections. But
they haven't lost since then.
Yeah, and they haven't lost since then, but they've beaten LSU at home, really good win, and then they've beaten no one else that's really solidly in the field.
I'll tell you what they do have is they have a – while these Tier 2 wins are not necessarily, and in their case, are not against tournament teams, these are the, you know, maybe NIT-level teams, but these are quality teams, and they are just running through, you know, a ton of wins against teams that are not garbage. They're not great.
And one of those teams we might even be voting on to the seed list tonight, and that's Utah State.
Right, and I agree, Chad. I think they do belong up here. The only reason I point that out is they are a little different than the other teams that we've taken, and if there were a reason to not have them up here, it would be that. But I honestly, this Houston team, the more and more I look at them, the more and more I think that they are a heavyweight. And then when they get into the NCAA tournament, they're going to beat some pretty good teams.
I guess what my point here was you do have to give teams credits for the quad two wins, even though they're not necessarily tournament caliber wins. Because, I mean, that's the whole reason why they have quad two, three, and four, not just quad one and or top one and then the rest group everybody else together. Because there is points you earn for getting wins in that second group there, I think.
Yes.
Anyhow, let's find the right page here. Let's not get wax standings. Let's get the seed list here. And I guess we had a lot of consensus here on this line. So why don't we just keep running on here? So, Stalika, how about you for the four line?
Well, I'll give you one little spoiler here. I'm going to have all Big 12 teams on my four line. But now the question is, what order do we put that in there?
No. You're going to put one up there that doesn't belong there.
Sorry, buzzer on that one.
You're going to put Kansas here, and this is not where
his line's puppet, not yours. Go ahead, Stalika.
Okay, the first team I'm going to put up there is Kansas State, who is the current Big 12 leader. And then I would add the Texas Tech team that we already have under consideration. Kansas is going to be that third team I have up there. And before the puppet interjects, I know they don't have as many true road wins, but they still have four other fantastic wins on a neutral floor, which is where the tournament is ultimately going to be played. And here's where I would have an Iowa State team that's kind of schizo, throwing life rafts to other Big 12 teams, as Joby would put it, but it's still enough quality wins that I would still have them as my final protected seed.
Well, Joby, he just called you out. Does Iowa State still belong up there?
We got to break up the Big 12 party. Okay. It'll be very tough, assuming the one thing that John does by putting Iowa State as a four is if Iowa State lands on the five, it is a matter of fact of pretty much who they have to play.
There's some bracketing problems here.
Substitute into this area. Yes. And there isn't a clear person, but I think I will go from – I will be ACC homer guy and go Florida State here.
Well, okay. No, there is a clear person. Joby, you're wrong. And the team is Florida State.
Tytel, what are your thoughts on that? Should we have four Big 12 teams on the same line, or should we break it up with an ACC team or somebody else?
I don't know if we've ever had four teams on the same line from a single conference. So, since I love precedent, I don't think I'm ready to – start that right now. I think we should break this up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, would Florida State be your team, or would you go somewhere else?
I think I would go to the Big Ten, actually.
Okay, with
yeah.
Go ahead.
I think it's a coin flip between the Badgers and the Terps, and I have good reasons to not put either of them here. I get that, so I won't lose sleep about all the Big 12. But I think we need a little Big Ten love here. So at gunpoint, I will go with my brother-in-law's alma mater and badger it up.
You badger it up. Would it be Iowa State that you knock out?
I think, I don't know, Kansas State looked not great against the Jayhawks, but I think that based on the fact, since I took heat for putting a 21 net on the three line, let's get that 28 net off the four line. Sure.
Okay, Kansas State out. David, let me go to you and then to Matt on this.
If you put Wisconsin and Maryland next to each other, they are really close. I had them back to back. I actually had Maryland on this line as the fourth seed and Florida State ahead of them. I just don't get – I mean, I get Kansas in a vacuum where you're looking at their resume and seeing all the good things on it. All of the good things on it, pretty much all of them, happened before they lost Azubuike. Without Azubuike, they lost by 40-something or 30-something at a place that Oklahoma State went to overtime in. They are not the same team. They lost at West Virginia, for crying out loud. When they leave home, they're not even beating decent teams, let alone good ones.
But add, there's a second guy for Kansas that is out of the lineup in LeGerald Vick, who is out indefinitely, and we don't know if he's coming back either.
What steadies me with Kansas – is, yes, I know it was home, but they still beat the conference leader at home. And they beat the conference leader. They drummed them.
It's not
them.
Like I don't they have them in the field. I just don't have them.
Close. Yeah. So Kansas still has something. Are they what they were? No. But do you know what they were? They were a one seed.
Yeah, and now they're a five seed.
Now we're talking four. I don't think that's ridiculous. But you're right. If they – Kansas needs to run through the tape. If they – mess around with Oklahoma State, can't beat Oklahoma State on the road, can't beat Oklahoma, even though Oklahoma righted the ship a little bit. Yeah, you're going to get a lot of – they're ready for that fall, but they until they complete the fall, they're in mid-trip, until their face hits the floor, they're still a protected seed in my book.
Well, Matt, I told you I'd throw it over to you also for this question, so where would you go on this?
I'd have Florida State in, and I'd knock off Kansas State. That performance Monday was awful.
Did you see Kansas's performance at Texas Tech?
Hold on a second here. So I'm going to put K-State's profile up here. And, Matt, I mean, they do still have six Quadrant 1 wins, four of which are on the road. And, yeah, they were awful, but they were awful at a Kansas team that we're talking about is right here with them and is undefeated at home.
Yeah, but also this is more like that performance there reminds me of, that loss at Tulsa that wasn't great and some other stuff like.
Okay, what were you thinking when you watch the Texas Tech Kansas game?
I thought Tech was going to win fairly handily, and that's why, I was sort of thinking about Tech for even the three line. Is I think they're playing so well right now that
okay, losing what were
I was thinking
West Virginia,
David, I was thinking
at Tulsa.
A three and they're a four.
Yeah,
I mean that's you know. Yeah.
All right, well, we do need to keep things rolling here. I don't think, Sleeker, we can go with four Big 12 teams. I do agree with that. I kind of think that we need to put Rocco, you went with you think Florida State's the team, right?
You are not leaving Kansas on this one.
Right. No, I actually don't.
Okay, Rocco, who do you think the team it is?
Well, I mean, I would go with Texas Tech and Kansas. I am with
– Oh, my God.
Yeah, because I, the body of work's important, so it's and they're not completely out of it. So, and then I would go with Wisconsin as well with John T. And I actually have Virginia Tech in the 16 spot right now after their signature win without Justin Robinson against Duke,
who probably won't play the rest of the year though.
Well, that game didn't count. Don't you follow John Rothstein?
Yes, unfortunately, I do.
I'll tell you what,
that's the biggest mistake anyone's made in this panel here.
I'm going to go ahead and take part of what we said. I am going to leave three Big 12 teams up there, which is a ton of them. Iowa State's the one that we're going to drop out here. Kansas is going to stay on there, David. No matter how much you yell and scream. Florida
Chad's
State,
wrong
let's put that, I'm going to put them in there. That's
Chad is wrong.
Well, David, you're wrong, but I'm going to let you take the next four teams anyhow, so go ahead.
Okay, so we've got –
There
are four teams under consideration. You may want to look at those four.
Right. Well, no, I got my little list here, and it just takes a second to try and delete this when you don't have any arms. It's not easy, just so you know. Okay. Anyway, I like Whiskey in Maryland would be in that Maryland and Whiskey in that order. We've got Texas Tech in, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then Iowa State is who I have next. And I know, God, they certainly have one wart now, but I had Louisville at number 20 is the last five seed.
Above Virginia Tech.
I did, yes.
All right. Well, Rocco, let me go right to you first. Do you want to address that Louisville-Virginia Tech argument?
And you'll have to look at the two profiles.
Yeah, if you want to do that, that's fine. I think it's a little too high for Louisville based on what they've done recently. I think they've fallen down a little bit lower than
like losing to Boston College.
And losing to Boston College, yes, I can understand. I concede the point that they haven't done well recently.
And this is the toughest. This has been the toughest part of the bracket to seed for like the last month or so. And there's finally some separation with Villanova's losing streak and Louisville starting to slip. But that's how close a lot of these teams are. So Chad, are you asking? I would certainly go Virginia Tech over Louisville at this point.
Well, Sleeka, he wants to go with an 11-loss team over a 6-loss team, correct?
And that's a team like Louisville, for example, that barely beat Clemson. So if they had lost that game at home, who knows? Because Boston College, Pittsburgh, could we have an unholy trinity working if they somehow lose to Notre Dame on Saturday?
David, you're not going to convince me.
Profiles. I mean, you talk about 11 losses. Go back, like Louisville, like Virginia Tech actually has more losses below that little line of yours than Louisville does.
No, Virginia Tech has three and Louisville has four.
On the first
quadrant two losses. So, no, David, you're wrong again.
Well, yeah, but Louisville's losses are really good, and they're better than
Virginia. Let's put Virginia Tech.
You're doing it wrong.
Boston
doing it wrong.
They're great losses.
I'll put it to you this way, Puppet. Louisville's profile, it's slowly starting to look more Texas-esque, only with better wins.
Tytel, is there anybody that we should have in here that we have not put in, that we did not put in so far through the five lines?
I want to at least put Nevada under consideration. I know they're not playing their best basketball of the year in February, but – I think the rankings will hold up, we hope. A net of 18, I think that has to be in the discussion, no?
Well, yeah. And I mean, they also have the worst strength of schedule of anybody we've looked at so far. So that's, I think, the
– Would you want to play Nevada this year, coming off of a great tourney run last year and bringing back everybody?
No, but yes, going 5 against it would be rough. I mean
– I would love to play Nevada in March. My team won't be playing anybody in March.
Matt, would you have Nevada in this line?
No, if actually we're looking a little bit more of that realm, I prefer Buffalo to them.
for Buffalo to Nevada. Well, I'll throw Buffalo under consideration. I think none of those teams going to get on the five line. But let me go to Joby for the six line, actually.
All right. We're starting to get really tough. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I'm only taking one of those teams under consideration. And Mr. Cattells is it. But I'm going to start. Yeah, I'll go Nevada first. I'll do Nevada first. Precisely because the committee has some credibility in. And I'll do – there's an anomaly here, but I'll go with that great out-of-conference strength of schedule that is Mississippi State. I'll follow my rankings a little bit on that, even though that they are a six seed, not a four seed, which you'll see.
You're coming at number 16 on the J&G.
Yeah, that's out of whack, in my opinion. You know, just like I think Iowa State's too low.
But 20 in the neck, 20 in the Ken Pom is actually a five seed.
I mean, I think this is where Mississippi State should be, legitimately. I don't think we have passed them over to get to this point. Let's see if Mr. Bohan can make like 80 last second shots. Do you want to play Iowa right now in a close game? No, you do not. And this proves that we're doing what we think as opposed to the committee, because I know the committee would never have them this high. But I think this team I'm about to name is bad ass, and that is the Terriers of Wofford.
Well, they are the number 24.
I thought I had them high.
They are number 24 in the polls. And there you are. You just put them number 24 in our bracket. Rocco, Wofford this high. And what about those other three?
Hey, I love Wofford. So, I mean, I hate arguing against them, but I think it is a little too early, especially if you're going to put them in above my Huskies. Come on, Joby. But
who have your Huskies beaten? Wofford has a better selection.
Arizona
in a better conference.
They've beaten just as many teams in the field as Wofford, so we're I think still at zero. But
Furman's closer than anybody Washington has beaten. I'm serious.
That's until the big gets stolen, right? So anyway, so back to answering your question here. So on the sixth line, I would have Villanova in. After the big win over Marquette, I think that gets them back in the sixth range.
Okay. Tytel, is that where you'd go? Would you go Villanova here over a team like Wofford? Or
it was a
Wofford?
Pretty big win. And since Matt is throwing a little shade at Nevada, I think that I'm going to throw some shade back by getting his hated Villanova Wildcats on this line.
Yeah.
I quite like Villanova. They're my probably second favorite team in the league.
We're also going to be at an interesting crossroads as far as Iowa here, because if you didn't see what happened on Tuesday, Fran McCaffrey had a few choice words for the officials after the game. He's going to be suspended for two games, and that is something that the committee is supposedly going to consider in case Iowa does slip up.
Yeah,
Rutgers.
No, you got it wrong, John. If Iowa goes out there and wins those two games impressively and Fran McCaffrey comes back, they have to devalue those wins on the grounds that they did it without Fran McCaffrey.
Yeah, I do agree. I think we should leave Iowa on this line. I think we should leave Nevada, Mississippi State here. I love Wofford as well, but I think
you Villanova have to have Louisville up here.
I think Villanova. I'm not ready to put an 11 loss team in yet, David.
But you're willing to put Villanova in, who lost to the sixth place team in the Ivy League.
And just beat Marquette, yes. let's keep things rolling here. I think this is a solid six line. I think we're kind of about to hit the real garbage here. And Rocco, I'm going to let you start. I let you get the one seed, so why don't you let you really start the garbage as well, the seven line.
let's keep the fireworks going. This is good. I will take Buffalo as my top number seven. And I'm actually going to throw in Cincinnati here.
Love that pick.
And then I'm going to put my Huskies in right after Cincinnati. And then I will go Louisville.
Okay, so you're not even going Wofford on the seven line?
No, not yet.
Okay.
Boy, woe is the one seed that plays them.
I like Wofford. I actually like Wofford better than Buffalo, but I had them both on the eight. They had a really, really nice win yesterday. Looked dominant for at least the last 10 minutes. I like Baylor. I mean, their profile just keeps getting better and better and better.
It's just those two bad losses. It's just the hard part. Yeah.
I mean, compared to Washington, they've done things.
Tytel, Washington or Baylor?
Or someone else? Washington, but it's getting very, very close. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't overlook Texas Southern and SFA at home, can you? You can't just ignore them.
No, they were, like, by the one possession. But the thing is, like, they have so much more in Tier 1 and Tier 1A and Tier 1 AAA. I mean, like, I get a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Matt, are these the teams you would go with, or is there somebody else you'd like to have under consideration?
Yeah, I'm looking. This is about, actually, I think we've found into here. I have Wofford above Washington, but I had them both on the 8 line because I do have Baylor here instead of Washington.
Yeah, I'm not being convinced that we need to make a move, but Salika, do you want to convince me that we should make a move, or should we leave these four?
Yes, you should make a move.
The only one I would probably be swapping out right now would be Washington for Baylor, just because Baylor has at least proven they can be able to beat tournament teams at full strength. Washington already missed their most recent chances against Arizona State and also Minnesota back in November, hurt a bit.
But Washington has a chance to win at Cal tonight, and that's really going to make their profile worse. But
Washington—that's a special game. Never in the history of Washington basketball have they had such an easy road game in Pac to 8, 10, or 12 play.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and let's leave this alone. I would not have objected to Wofford being up there, but I hear the arguments for all four of these teams. So let's
right. So this. I mean, so we make a better argument for Baylor, and Chad leaves it alone. I just love how things work around here.
I'm not convinced on Baylor, but I was more convinced on putting Wofford here than Baylor, David, because I can't overlook Texas Southern and an SFA team that's not
you're not standard trying SFA hard enough team. To overlook it, Chad.
Neither one of those teams is even leading their conference.
And a 500 Southland team at that.
Yep. Matt, how about an 8 line?
Yeah, I have both Wofford and Baylor here.
Okay, good.
And then I've got, because this is about where I had St. John's before tonight, and that's no longer the case.
Losing out.
Look, I have Ole Miss.
Yep, I agree with that, Matt.
And then, oy. Mm-hmm. You know what? This is hair early, but I like how they're playing. I've got VCU here.
Okay, I've really hesitated because I did not expect them coming in this high at all. Rocco, let me start with you. VCU this high, and what about these other three?
I mean, I like what VCU is doing, but they don't have the caliber of wins, and they've had a couple hiccups in the preseason or the non-conference schedule, I should say, that I think prevents them from getting this high. But so I won't have them, but I can agree with Ole Miss. Who else did we have there?
Wofford and Baylor were the other two.
Okay, so then I would replace them. Oh, God, this is ugly. I guess I got to take Syracuse, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had them up here.
Syracuse, I guess it's kind of a Syracuse-VCU argument here. Joby, Syracuse-VCU?
I actually, on the old eye test, I really love Matt's call on VCU. But the fact is VCU sometimes is offensively challenged. Yeah, I love good defensive teams, and VCU is that. They're Houston with a little less scoring, sort of thing. Syracuse, when they put it together with that length, I mean, Syracuse would be my call here. But as far as who I might want to play in the tournament, I might want to play Syracuse before I play VCU, but Syracuse deserves the spot.
Well, Tatel, you know I got to beat you up a little bit. Could say that you're the guy that about a month ago said there's no way in hell VCU would ever get an at-large bid, and now we're talking about them on the 8th line. Do you think that we're overseeding them here on the 8th line?
Yes. They're a good team. I don't think they're an 8-seed good right. team.
Right. Well, would you have Syracuse, or would you go somewhere else?
I think that despite the fact that everybody wants to avoid other Big 12 and SEC schools here, like – I know Texas lost, but, like, Carolina, Purdue, Kansas State, Kansas, like, how many good wins do you want this team to have?
And that's a good point, isn't it?
Yes, it is a good point.
Rocco, that Texas's wins are a lot better than Syracuse's wins, aren't they?
Yeah, they are, but I'm just concerned Texas might not even be eligible if they lose a couple more games.
Yeah,
15-13, right?
So. They've got to go 2-2, or they are out of here.
I know. That's just crazy because their wins are great. It's
2-2 against tournament-level teams.
Yeah.
When you add together the number of protected seeds Texas has beaten with the number of teams that are going to miss the tournament, you have perhaps the highest number of any team that's ever done that because they've beat Oklahoma State, Georgia, Providence, Radford, TCU's on the bubble, and then they've beaten North Carolina, Purdue, K-State, and Kansas.
Wow.
Yeah, that is a special profile right there.
I guess on that note, I'll go with the Syracuse instead of VCU. We've got to kind of hold our nose with either one of those teams, any of these three teams. And I'm almost more convinced that maybe VCU was the right team here just because they're the only team that's winning right now. Right. But Titel, why don't I go to you for our 9 line?
Let's pick some garbage. So let's do Texas because I like them. Okay. Let's do VCU because everybody else likes them. Let's do Auburn because even though you all hate them, they have a decent little resume. Thank you for proving my point that everyone hates them. And then the fourth one, I'm not going with the Sun Devils, so don't worry about that. I don't want to do Oklahoma. I don't want to do TCU. Let's do
Gators.
And we are running into garbage.
Gators.
let's look at the Gators profile just to see how those numbers look.
They're Purdue. They're just 2 months behind. but it's true, and that's a good. I'm saying it in a complimentary way, actually.
I mean, they kind of stack up when you look at the metrics, don't they? For everybody else in this line.
They're way better than Auburn.
Well, did David?
On this line, and I did. If you pull up their profile, this is where I had them. I had Seton Hall in Oklahoma up here too, and I did not have Auburn on this line. Shocking as that may be to the rest of you.
Well, Rocco, we know what David's thoughts are on Auburn. They do have 3 Quadrant 1 wins, including over the Florida team. They don't have much in terms of bad on their profile. And they do have, they're going to be at 20 wins in probably their next game out or the game after that. So do they belong in here or not? Just kind of on the same theory. We already put Washington in, and they beat Washington and have a similar profile, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, I could agree with that. I'm definitely not in love with the Auburn profile by any stretch of the imagination. But I think with their metrics, I think that's going to be a factor. I know this is just our own opinion. My own opinion is Auburn doesn't deserve to be very high, but there's just a lot of teams in this area that have stubbed their toe a million times, like St. John's today. And Florida, they've had the best last couple of weeks out of anybody. So I think it actually should be Auburn should stay, unfortunately. And then the last spot would either be St. John's or Florida, and I can live with either of those choices.
Florida won at LSU, and in my opinion, that just blows anything Auburn has done so far out of the room.
Right.
I mean, there's just nothing coming close to that.
Right.
Matt, what about St. John's? Should they be here over Auburn and Auburn and or Florida? There's a lot of good up there. Some bad, but a lot of good.
Yeah, that's – damn, that profile is schizo. The other one I actually had in this range, and this will make our colleague Kyle happy, is Ohio State.
Yeah.
Salika, Ohio State, should they be the team?
I think Ohio State is a team that should be considered when you look at the wins like Cincinnati and I suppose Nebraska and Indiana to some extent. But
Iowa at home by 20 is nice. I mean –
yeah, the Iowa.
And they won the postgame by about 22.
Yeah.
But I think St. John's is a classic case of matchups seem to dictate just how well they'll do when they're playing teams like Marquette and Villanova that play to their strengths, sure. But when they face teams like Providence, Xavier, even DePaul that can beat them in the front court, the Johnnies have serious problems.
Yeah, and look at the Johnnies' remaining schedule. They have to go on the road to 2 teams that have already beaten them. So that is – and neither of which is, you know, a great team. Well, Xavier, we may talk about in a minute here, but DePaul and Xavier, they may lose the next 2 games, especially if they're not careful in spring.
Pons is still hurt.
Pons is still hurt. You know, David, I think I'm going to leave this. I know you're going to scream, but I'm going to leave this line alone here.
Oh, for God.
And I'm going to go to Stalica for the 10 line.
Let me scroll way down here to delete Auburn because they're in the field.
Well, I think the first two teams I'm going to be adding on here are going to be St. John's and Ohio State.
Yeah, that's, those are good calls.
And then the third team is going to be another under-the-radar team that may possibly get above the bubble, and that's going to be the Belmont Bruins. And then if I had to pick another team that's going to be garbage out of the Power Five, I'm going to take Oklahoma.
I personally don't know that I can argue with that much, but let me run it through a few. Joby, what are your thoughts on those four teams?
I like Belmont's I like Belmont's eye test. That's obviously when we talk about – I think the others – Oklahoma's win this week is huge. It stopped the bleeding, and the patient is still alive before they fell out of the tournament. So that was really important. The question is, who do you go with if you're not going to go there? Do you pick one of those American teams? Do you pick TCU? Do you do Minnesota? There's a lot of junk here. Arizona State gets mentioned here. Why not give Belmont a nod? Because they are, in my opinion, a solid team, and they're taking care of business in their conference.
What? There's another team we need to throw out there, and that's somebody that's actually beaten a one seed away from home. What about Seton Hall?
They're just I agree, David. They should be in the field and probably under consideration here. I just hate the way they're playing. They are not playing well right now.
And to be honest,
if they hadn't won, wouldn't be in that category too. So I get it.
There's a lot of teams here that are sort of hard to evaluate, at least for me. Seton Hall, Texas, certainly among them. Just because they're so schizophrenic. Baylor's sort of another one, although I think Baylor's a little easy because their crap came early, and now they're sort of more solid. But like with the Johnnies, Seton Hall, Syracuse, you don't know if they're going to go out there and win at Duke or lose a bye game at home. And Seton Hall, while maybe not to that extreme, is sort of in that category. But when you look at the top of Seton Hall's profile, and I realize that you have to look at the whole thing, but the top of it looks like a protected seed or a team that would be in the top half of the bracket. Yeah. And
I don't know that's a protected seed top, but it is a nice top.
Yeah.
Real bad bottom. But we've got a few other opinions here. Matt, let me get your opinion, first of all, on this line.
It's not terrible. Like, the other two teams we haven't mentioned that I sort of like for whatever bizarre reasons are NC State and Alabama.
Oh, I hate NC
State. I hate Alabama, honestly. But let me pull up both those profiles real quick, and Tytel, I get your thoughts on this line also.
So Seton Hall and Alabama are doing the same. We're holding our entire season on the head of Kentucky, beating them by this much. So I see them as very comparable. NC State, as Rocco likes to point out, that non-conference strength of schedule is not going any better anytime soon. And if everybody hates Auburn, then beating Auburn. And how is Penn State a tier one? For God's sake.
It's right there. It's on the ball. It is the very last possible.
Yeah, and the committee, they're intelligent people. They're going to see that it's right. When you look at who's on the committee, maybe they're not very intelligent.
I'll tell you what, Rocco,
point, it would be one thing if winning at Penn State is a tier one, but a neutral court win against Penn State is tier one? I have no words.
Exactly. Rocco, I haven't heard anything yet to convince me to move any of these four teams because they're all we've got garbage or to replace it with more garbage. But is there – you want to make an argument on any of these replacements?
I agree with you on the eye test for Belmont, but I think it's too high. They've lost to Jacksonville State twice. The Lipscomb wins look better earlier this year than they do today. I don't think they're deserving of a 10. I don't think they're going to get a 10. And so,
I have them inside the bubble, but even I didn't have them this time.
Okay, so I'm going to put Seton Hall in there instead of Belmont. I think I heard the best arguments for Seton Hall out of this garbage
group. Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I think TCU's got the – I know they're schizophrenic too, but they've got some pretty good wins with the Iowa State sweep. But
I like Belmont more than TCU. Jeez.
Yeah, TCU has the – it's like they can beat Iowa State, but they can't beat anybody else. And
right.
At least Seton Hall kind of switched up with Kentucky and Maryland and St. John's and Butler and Xavier.
And TCU did lose to Lipscomb, who Belmont did what with Lipscomb?
Swept them, yeah.
David,
why don't you give us the 11 line? We do have six teams under consideration there, by the way.
Well, Belmont – okay. We like Belmont.
Anybody else? Do you want to just?
I need to go to the replay. I need to go to the replay.
Okay, David.
Many.
We got most of the team I like here too.
Win the night. I know that. Did they win the night?
Yes, they just beat Northwestern 62-50. That just went final.
Okay, that is big because that's their second true road win. So I have them up here. Not crazy about them, but I had Alabama on this line as well. And this next team is kind of out of the blue, but they've done things, in my opinion, like they've done more away from home than anybody else that's under consideration, and they have a really, really nice win that a lot of teams – that's better than certainly anything NC State has. I had Furman all the way up here. The win at, because when you look at the win at Villanova and like when you look at some of the other stuff they've done, like they're, I prefer that to a home court hero.
I got to start with Titel if you're going to throw Furman in on the 11 line.
Yes, allow me to throw them right off the 11 line. I know TCU is having a February from hell, but they have a better resume than Furman, I think. And I would love to see an all SoCon line because the SoCon is amazing this year, but. I think that a win over Villanova before Thanksgiving, albeit on the road, albeit against a team that's going to make the tournament, albeit against the defending freaking champion, it still, I don't think, compares to the TCU resume.
Yeah, I mean, TCU has five wins over teams we've already put in. Furman has one.
TCU has two wins, like, on
Matt,
two true.
Matt, would you rather have Furman than TCU?
No, I have Furman in my field, but not over TCU.
Not over TCU.
No, I will say if we're going to team over TCU, it might be the one that beat them head-to-head on their corner. That'd be Lipscomb.
I just can't get past TCU's putrid performance away from home. And I know that they're playing better teams than what Furman is, but Furman's best road win is way better than, like, most of what TCU's
I would argue that TCU's win at Iowa State's better than winning at Villanova this year.
Magic, damn right.
Unfortunately for Furman, what's also going to negate that Villanova win a bit is going to be that home loss against Samford.
Yeah. I think I'm convinced that should be TCU and not Furman there. Rocco, any other changes you would make on this line, though?
TCU was my next team, for what it's worth.
Yeah, I mean, this is not going to be pretty, but I actually have Arizona State above a couple of these teams, but I really don't want to argue for them. I think we've had that discussion too many times already.
I think Arizona State should get it on this next line, but I'm going to leave the 11 alone. And Joby, why don't you give me the next four teams? So we have at least five more spots left.
So it's five more spots, right?
Just give me four for now. Yeah,
four for now. All right. The first one I give. Thus, will have to be doesn't have to be in the first four,
right?
And so, the most deserving of those is a team that we have not mentioned tonight, but we just put a team they beat on the road in the field, the first American team,
the Nebraska Hornconsters,
Central Florida.
Okay,
and the Alabama game looms large right now.
Right. Good point.
Because if Alabama sinks, so do they. Then let's go to the – I would love to see an Arizona State-NC State matchup in the first four.
That sounds very first
four. I would love that.
That's another reason why I'm promoting UCF, because they're boring.
That sounds like
One more team, Joby.
Yeah. All right. I'll go ACC Homer. I'll say Clemson hangs on by their chinny chin chin.
You will go Clemson. All right, David, you want to comment on those four teams and still?
To say that Furman has done nothing and that UCF has, I think that that's way off because Furman's win at Villanova beats anything that UCF's done.
Rocco, would you have Furman over UCF or somebody else over UCF?
I like UCF over Furman, and they're going to be defined in their next three games. Those are huge games, all three of them.
What are Alabama and Memphis's records on the road? I mean, I think you're giving them way too much credit for winning games that really weren't that hard to win.
And Alabama has a bad road record. That's true. That's true.
And yeah, right. I mean, so why give them more credit for – I think beating UNC Greensboro at home is almost harder than beating Alabama at home.
Alabama has seven wins away from home if you include road and neutral. I don't think it's awful by any means. It's better than – it's the same as UCF.
They've lost to Texas A&M. No, I mean, they're not exactly road warriors.
Well, no, Texas A&M, they lost to at home.
Georgia State lost at home. Well, they lost on the road. Okay, I didn't go down far enough to realize that it had been a sweep. So they lost to Texas A&M, yeah.
I would say outside of, Virginia Tech, let's see the Clemson Paper Tigers profile up here.
Sure, I'll put Clemson up. And John, do you think Clemson belongs in this field right now?
I would have had them out right now because if I were looking for, let's say, a better win, I'd rather have Temple in here, at least with their win against Houston.
And I'm open to Temple as well. I only want to give one American team the spot. And if the group thought Temple deserved that spot over UCF, I'm fine.
Tytel Temple just lost at Memphis. Can we put this?
Yeah, and that's why. Yeah,
Memphis is good at home, though.
Are we not using the rule that if you lose to Penn this year, you're out? Is that not a thing?
we did put Villanova in, so I don't think that's a thing.
Mercifully, I want to see. I'm going to defer to John because he was the one who trumpeting Utah State. I still don't know like how exactly the resume will stack up, but the fact that they're getting mentioned in a lot of mock brackets mean that I think we should at least look at the profile.
Well, let's pull up the Utah State profile, put up on the left there next to Temple.
Well, they passed the first half of their test with their win at home against San Diego State. But other than that, the only other wins that are going to be carrying any weight are going to be at UC Irvine, as well as at Fresno State and against St. Mary's at home. I mean, the ironic thing for the Gaels is this is the one year where they're actually playing a tough schedule, but unfortunately they don't have the quantity of wins this year to match up with that.
Not way better than both of those. I mean,
well, let me, Matt, what would you do with this line? He wants to put UCF, Arizona State, NC State, Clemson in for these four teams. Would you put a Utah State or a Furman in over them or somebody else or Temple?
I'd put both Utah State and Furman over Arizona State and Clemson.
Tytel is smiling. Tytel.
I can honestly say, you know, I've talked about eye test for Wofford, eye test for Belmont. I want to gouge my eyes out watching Utah State. They stink.
Yeah.
They're not good. They really are not a good team. And they, I don't like the way they play, and they don't have wins to back it up.
I'll tell you what I wanted.
I'm like a Belmont, who I like the
way. They're 34 in the net, though. I mean, that's.
I'll tell you what I want to do. I'll tell you what, guys.
What they are in the net? Tell me how the net is composed, and we'll,
Let's do this here. There is one at-large spot left. I want to run through each of you. Tell me who your last team would be, and we'll see if we can't figure it out from there who this last team will be. Rocco, who would your last team in be, given this field?
Yeah, well, out of the under consideration, I do still have Temple hanging on to a spot, and I don't. I think we have everybody else in, so
you'd go Temple.
Temple's the answer, yeah.
Okay. Matt, where would you go?
I'd go Utah State.
All right. Tytel.
Based on the last 5 seconds, I'll go with Arizona. But in reality, I think that we have to give Fran Dunphy the career award and give Temple his chance to make his swan song.
How about you, Stalika?
I have both Temple and Utah State on here, but I have to fight for the cherry and the white here. So I will go Temple.
Temple also. David.
Auburn.
Dave, we already put Auburn in, so give me someone else.
Furman.
Okay. And who did I forget? Joby.
Based on the fact that they're better than all these teams that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, I'm actually being convinced on this one, Chad. Mm-hmm. I say both Furman and Temple, and I'm willing to remove UCF.
Yes.
Well, we already both put UCF in.
I'm willing to reverse myself because I have flexibility in thought. So I'm willing to pull UCF, put Temple, because an American team should be there, jump them all the way there, and put Furman as the last team. That is what I would suggest to do.
Okay,
and,
well, if I pulled UCF, does anybody want UCF? Let me run through.
I do not want Arizona State not in the first four, though.
Let me run through real quickly here. I'll pull UCF out for now. Let me run through real quickly. Just tell me which team of these four, the three left, Utah State, Furman, UCF. Real quick, Rocco?
UCF.
Matt?
Oh, but I hate saying this, UCF.
Tytel?
I have them higher than you list.
Don't say it. Say Furman.
Today, Utah State, but as Rocco said, UCF, their whole future is ahead of them.
Yeah. Yep. Stalika?
Knights, UCF.
Yeah, and David?
Well, that settles it. It's Furman. Put Furman in the last spot.
Joby, we are leaving UCF in here, but we will bounce them down to the first four at least.
I want Arizona State in that first four, though. I want NC State in that first four.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I want about eight teams of the first four. I agree with you, but we got to let somebody out of it.
Well, precedent says NC State is not going to get in the last four. They're either going to be safely in or they're not in at all with that.
That's true with the strength of schedule. That's smart. Yeah. That's a good
one. There you go. I'll flip those two teams then.
If we get this far, they're out.
NC State. Oh, my God.
But on that note here, what
Furman
I didn't do –
would blast NC State. They would.
What I did go ahead and do here was I added in Lipscomb at number 50 overall. That would complete the top 12 lines there. They are an auto bid winner, though, below the first four. Let me quickly go through, before I reveal the 13 through 16, we have only teams we discussed that we did not put in were Utah State and Furman. Who else do you think is close? Rocco, who else is close that we did not put in?
So I'm going to name a team that's not close right this second, but if all the magic lines up on Saturday night, we could all be talking about them on Sunday, and that's going to be St. Mary's. If they can somehow beat Gonzaga Saturday, their whole world will change. So I think it's worth just having them on the radar for 2 days, and then we can get rid of them.
Matt, is there anyone else you'd have on your radar?
One we have it that's interesting that – killing me on the net, but they won at Syracuse, and that's Old Dominion.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Old Dominion will actually be in this field because they'll be our auto bid winner out of Conference USA. They'll be on that 13 line. So, but that's I don't know that they can get up that high because any loss in USA is going to be a bad loss.
Well, that's okay.
Tytel, is there anyone else that you'd have close?
I mean, if nobody's going to mention Ja Morant, I guess I will because everybody else seems to love him in the NBA draft world. Yeah. I still don't know who's going to win the OVC, but, like, if you like Belmont, you can't hate Murray State.
Right, and I think there's an argument here. If Murray State beats Belmont in the final for a potential two-bit OVC, but it's going to be tough.
I'm all for it.
I am too.
Stalika, there's still somebody missing that we haven't mentioned that maybe is under consideration now. You want to mention them?
Well, if they win on Saturday, I think Georgetown can continue to make a push because it would give them a win against Seton Hall. Butler, I mean, it may just be time to turn out the lights pretty soon because they lost to Providence at home. And if they can't beat Villanova and they lose at home to a suddenly red-hot Xavier team, they're in deep trouble.
Well, you just said the word, suddenly red-hot Xavier team. Joby, does Xavier belong on this list of consideration suddenly?
Support your team. They're not in right now, but man, the world is open to them because they get another shot. You mentioned how St. John's has trouble, and now it's going to be in Cincinnati. The world's in front of Xavier. Their problem is their overall record is still downtrodden, and they're not Texas. You know, they don't have a Texas-like resume.
Well, the other problem with Xavier is they also have a sub-500 record against Quad 3 teams, which is one of the reasons why they were DOA for most of the year.
But they've climbed – I know it's not on the team sheets, but they have climbed in a good, deep conference to a 500 record now, which shows – and they're the six straight wins potentially, maybe seven. They're not in right now. But they have a shot. There is a pathway here.
Okay, you're having some audio problems there, Joby, but David, let me just ask you, anybody else that belongs under consideration?
I think we covered everybody, but like you kind of got to go back to the list here. We did have Kansas too high. Okay. They should be down on the 5 line, but it could work. You have to you would have to move. I kind of like the idea of, I'm not big on UCF. I don't think they belong up there, but I think Old Dominion does. And then you got to start to look at Mizzou on the 13 line.
All right, you're out of here. Where's the mute button? Let's real quick, I'm going to reveal the 13 through the 16 seeds here. We mentioned that Old Dominion team who would be on there, along with Irvine, New Mexico State, and Yale. Below them, Vermont, Hofstra, Drake, Texas State, South Dakota State, Radford, Montana, Bucknell, Wright State, Sam Houston State, Prairie View, Norfolk, St. Francis, PA. Iona Gales coming in last there as the champion of the bad Metro Atlantic. Matt, we're having some audio problems on your – I think it's coming up here. But on that note, though, I want to run through each of you for – I'll leave this up here for any other final thoughts of what we did tonight. And, Rocco, let me start with you.
Well, you know, I think it was a fun exercise. I think, you know, the first three lines, we were all pretty much in agreement. And then from 4 to pretty much the rest of the night, we all had some fairly big disagreements across each seed line. So it was a helpful exercise. I'm rethinking a couple teams personally, so I appreciate being on, and it's good to be on the show.
I think it was needed. It was, you know, I definitely, you know, saw teams coming in not where I thought they would be here, even though I was the arbitrator. You guys were not in support of what I would have done, but Sleek, let me go to you next.
I'll go back to Xavier here for a moment, because with their win tonight against St. John's, they are now actually – they have gone from dead last from 2 weeks ago. They are now in the number 3 spot in the Big East tournament. This will give them a potential pathway of a Georgetown, Villanova, and Marquette. So the possibility is there for them to get an at-large. But I think another thing we've overlooked as far as Xavier this year – they've had a streak going back to 1982 of 500 or better conference seasons. That was in mortal peril when they were 3-8, and suddenly they are now 8-8 and just need one more win, either at Butler or at home against St. John's, to continue that streak.
Amazing. They've come out of nowhere. Joby.
All right, I'm going to brag. I just did a quick eyeball test. Mm-hmm. If this was what the committee did, the J&G would be a perfect 68 for 68 and 3 within one seed. Just saying. With the mistakes being Washington, Syracuse by a mere spot in Texas.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. Your J&G ratings are very close to what we did here.
And I that was an influence, because I would have had Furman in instead of one of those final, and J&G has Furman out, right. First team. But I would have actually had Furman in, not one of the American teams. So.
Matt, let's see if we have your audio working better again.
Okay, I'll tell you about it. If that's the first
floor. No, we've lost you. We've lost you, Matt, unfortunately. We're definitely getting a lot of bad feedback from you. But, Tytel, how about you?
Some of the things that jump out to me are some of the matchups and how injuries will affect them. I don't think Duke is losing to a 16 seed, because no ACC team would ever do that, of course. If Kansas is a 4 seed and has Vic and Azubuike out, I don't think they're going to want to play a 13 seed like an ODU who's only lost 3 games since Thanksgiving. If Iowa State has been faltering and Virginia Tech has Dustin Robinson hurt, I don't think they're going to want to deal with a team like Lipscomb. So it'll be interesting to see as the season hits March how teams are dealing with the adversity of having a long season and guys getting beaten up and just trying to get back on track and play their best basketball of the year at the most important time of the year.
David, let me let you get the final thoughts here.
Well, I mean, again, I don't agree with all of it. My biggest thing is, like, how is the committee going to differ from what we did? And I do think that that's about where they're going to have teams like Auburn that I didn't like, and a team like Kansas, who I think is higher than they should be. So, like, I'm not a big fan of NC State at all. I'm a little perplexed that we could look at them and UCF and say that they've done things that a team like Furman hasn't. So, but other than that, I mean, I agree with this more than I typically agree with the actual one the committee puts together every year.
Furman's going to have their chance because they may be lining up for a semifinal against Wofford and not even the final. So they may have a huge chance. But then we'd be talking about a three-bid SoCon as well. So
potentially, yeah.
On that note, I am going to go ahead and pull this down. I want to note to everybody that you can look at the final bracket down below us here. If you looked at it before the show, you ruined it, and I forgot to warn you about that, so that's all David's fault. But I am going to go ahead and bracket this up. We'll post it down there below the video. And on that note, on behalf of Joby Fortson, John Salika, Rocco Miller, David Griggs, Matt Sikowski, John Titel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again. We'll have some bracket rundowns still to go this season. And we're starting Sunday night, Championship Week Video Notebook, David, right?
Right. Sunday night, yeah.
Okay.
All right. March is 43 minutes away.
43 minutes away. By any time anybody watches this, it will be March. So happy March, everybody. March Madness time. And have a good night, and we'll talk to you again real soon.